Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father, to give us the guidance that we need, to lead us into greater understanding, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can grow in depth, in truth of this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, last few days, I've talked to one gentleman that belongs to one of the churches in my little community where I live, and another one called me from the other one, the other church there. We have two churches in the little community which I live in, and both are in trouble. They're not looking for them to last too much longer. But yet, they want to continue on down that same old road, preaching contrary to the Word of God. Instead of repenting and getting back into His Word, if they would do that, they might not find themselves out. But from what I've been told, one of them now is only having a meeting every now and then. And when they do have that meeting, it'll only be one that week. And then they'll go for 2 or 3 weeks without a meeting. So in other words, they're not having much going on. Now the other one, I don't know, they didn't tell me how often it was meeting or anything. They just told me there was very few there, and they were thinking about shutting it down. We're seeing this in a lot of places because mankind just will not listen to God and do what he says do. Instead, they want to follow mankind and their own selfish, prideful ways. Because that's what's been taught actually for the last 50 or so years. They've been taught that you can go and be baptized and then just live any old way you want to live and it'll be all right. Well, it won't be. Never has been. Nor will it ever be. We look at the seven churches in Asia, as we talked a little bit this morning about in our service. Those churches. And they were warned that if they didn't repent, that they was going to be lost. And most of them was teaching far stronger and more of the gospel than they are today. We see so much division. And division does not get the work done, nor is it pleasing unto the Lord our God. But just as we found out this morning, we were talking about it, how that God's not pleased with mankind following man. He's supposed to follow the ways of the Lord our God and walk according to his word. And you know, that's exactly what Peter and John told him. Here was men in that day and time. We think we've got it right. Well, we do have, but not near what Peter and John and the apostles in that day and time were going through. They had been jailed. They'd been beaten. Then they were let out. They went right back to teaching exactly like they were before. Wound up being jailed again. Brought before council. Threatened and beaten again. And turned loose because the chief priests and those that were against them were afraid of the people. Once again, they warned them. Did we not tell you to preach no more in that name? And once again, Peter and John told them, we ought to obey God rather than man. and went right back. Preaching just like they had always been preaching. So what happened to our preachers today? Mankind told them, close your doors. What'd they do? They closed their doors. Well, except for about three churches that I know of, and done exactly what man was telling them to do. Then after several months, they was told, well, you can reopen, but you can only have so many in your church. They have to wear a mask. They have to be 6 foot apart. You can't sing hymns. And you can't have communion. When you can't do those things, why go to church? And then who is going to tell who can come and who can't? But that's exactly what they did. Now, some of them works in different ways. And they tell them, well, we can have 50. And the first 50 that'll call in and let us know they're coming will be the ones that can get in. But there was no singing, no communion. Taking the very articles of God away from them. Got to be 6 foot apart. So there can't be too many of you all go to the altar now to pray. Because if you do, you're going to be too close together. Listen to man that had no authority nor any right to tell a church what to do. They don't have that authority nor that right. But we still got them today following those same guidelines that are still being handed down by government officials. So many in your church is all you can have. You've got to wear masks and you've got to be 6 foot apart. And still no singing and no communion. It doesn't work. And we're seeing things get worse daily among mankind. And people are growing to the point to where they don't care at all to lie to you. Oh, I'm coming to church now, I'll be there. What time your services? Yes, sir. I'll be right there. And you don't see them. They don't show up. But you know, when you lie to a man of God, if you've got a pastor that is a man of God, you better watch lying to him, because it can get real bad for you. Because you see, you're making that promise not only to that man, but you're making it to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that's in that man. Because if he is a man of God, he is walking filled with the Holy Spirit. So be careful about lying to him. Or you're going to wind up just like Ananias and his wife Sapphira that we talked about this morning wound up. Both dead. And all because they lied to what they thought they were lying to a man. And they was. But it just so happened he was a man of God because they were lying to Peter. And him full of the Holy Spirit. And actually, they didn't have to lie. You know, there is really no reason for you and I to lie to anyone, let alone to each other. Here they lied about the price of the possessions that they sold. And they didn't have to lie about that. If they needed to keep part of that, all they had to do was say, well, we sold it for this amount, but we needed to keep this much of it back. It was theirs. They could have kept part of it, but they didn't do that. They lied about what they got for it to cover up what they had done. Ananias lied first to Peter. And when he did, Peter told Ananias, he says, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? You haven't lied just to me, you've lied to God. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife walks in because she had conspired with her husband Ananias about this lie. And Peter asked her the same question. He asked her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. All over a lie. But you know, the thing about it is, we just keep lying to God. Well, Lord, you know, I can't go over here and go to that church because I've got so certain things to do. But now I can go down the street to this other church down here, knowing that they're not teaching the truth of God's word. You're walking on dangerous ground. Very dangerous. Because God has told us, as we found out last week, that his judgment is going to begin at his house. That's the church. That's where it has begun. It has already begun there. Because that's why they are closed today. A lot of them. That's why a lot of them only allow so many in, because they are being pastored by backslidden evil men that is following Satan instead of God and teaching things that is contrary to the laws of Almighty God's Word. We're told in the Scripture, I'm told, and we all are told, there is only one doctor to follow. Pete asks me all the time. I'll ask them, church, they'll say, well, what's the name of your church? I'll tell them. Well, what doctrine do you preach? What denomination are you? I'm not in any denomination. But you ask me what doctrine I preach. I preach the apostles' doctrine. Because that's what the Word told me to preach. And he tells me if I come preaching any other gospel than that Word right there in that time, if I come preaching any other doctrine than that, I am cursed. That's God's Word, not mine. There's only one doctrine, and that's the apostles' doctrine. And that's why we are to teach this Word as it is written. And when it says don't do something, God doesn't tell me, now you don't do that, but this church over here, oh, it's all right, you can go ahead and do it. No, he don't. He don't tell me you can't have a woman preacher back there at your pulpit and then turn around and tell another just because they got a different name. Well, it's all right, you can. No, he don't. This Word is the same for each and every one of us. There is no difference for any of us. And he tells us that. They'll say, well, that's your interpretation. But my interpretation is a little different. My interpretation, your interpretation don't matter. We're told that. God tells us that. Oh, no, no. No, no, no. He don't do that. Oh, yes, but he does. Well, let's see. Let's go to 2 Peter. Right. I'll tell you just a minute here. Give me just a second. 2 Peter chapter 1. And long here about, let's go here with verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not given to you and I to interpret. It is given to you and I to obey, not to interpret it and make it say what we want it to say or what we think it says, but what it says. And God, in his word, said he did not call that woman to teach nor usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. Then he goes on in another place in the Scripture, over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and he goes far enough to tell them it is even a shame for her to speak in the church. But they don't want to go by that. Then they'll go to a place in the book of James, and they talk about you can't live your life without sin in it. They don't know what they're talking about at all when they do that. Because, you see, if they read the rest of it, they'd find out what he was talking about. All they do, just keep right on reading. But no, it says that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. So see, you can go ahead now and sin, but you've got an advocate there. You've got that attorney there for you. They didn't read the rest of that. He's talking about you when you was a sinner. But once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to walk away from that sin. You're no longer under it. You're dead to that sin. And you've got to turn away from it. Walk away from it. You don't do it anymore. Preaching contrary to God's word. Now I watch these on television. They want to get people, as they call it, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak with tongues. Well, you will. Sooner or later, sometime in your life, you will. They'll even get on television. Now have them all. Let's all stand. Let's all pray now. We're going to pray to the Lord. Now come on, pray in your heavenly language. Pray in those tongues. The Bible says no. Not to do it. That tells you why he don't want you doing it. Because you see, you get others coming in that don't know anything about that, and all you're doing is driving them away because they think you're crazy. He tells you, don't forbid them talking in tongues in church, but let it be by two or three at the most. And then let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, then don't do it at all. Because you don't know what is being said. It's done no good for no one. It's not edifying the church. When we are a church, we are to be edifying the church. We're to be edifying everyone there, giving them something that everyone can accept into their lives and grow by. Oh, now, you're getting just a little far out there, ain't you? No, not really. In fact, I hadn't really got far enough out there. Because you see, as I made the statement before, you can take an old Bible that you don't use anymore, but if you'll start taking out all of the scriptures that they're leaving out of that Bible today that they call preaching the gospel, and you take out all the scriptures they won't preach today, you'll find you ain't got much New Testament left. But when in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we find it telling us here in verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. That by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. That's God's word. And we've got church after church standing up in television today, having the whole congregation all come on, speak in your heavenly language. Come on, speak with that tongue. And yet, his word tells him why he don't want it done. Verse 23 tells you just exactly that. Well, let's go to 22, verse 22, chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? I called it crazy. Scripture says mad, meaning the same thing. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see, we all need to know how God works. And the only way that you know that is by getting in to his word and taking it and believing in it as it is written. Now, we come back here to Acts chapter 5, where we find we left off this morning, where they had threatened Peter and them. We see there in verse 29 of chapter 5, where they had told them, well, let's go to 28. This is where the chief priests and all are talking to Peter and them. And they're saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. 29. Peter's answer to them. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. You see, without us being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we'll never enter the kingdom of Almighty God. Never. Man don't want to believe that. Oh, all that died when the apostles died. No. That's when it just began. The apostles is the one that started it in the church. It wasn't given to you and I until the day of Pentecost. all the days that the apostles walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, they had never been actually filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. The things they were doing it under the power of Jesus while he was here on this earth. They're just like you and I. They didn't get actually baptized with the Holy Spirit until on the day of Pentecost in that upper room, when that 120 was in that upper room. Then they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit permanently. Just like you and I. And that's what we're told we have to be born again. And when you are truly born again to where you can go to heaven, that's when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And then you're told, even, that when you are born again, His seed, the Holy Spirit, remains in you, and you cannot sin because you're born of God. Oh, but my pastor's telling me I can't live my life without sinning. Your pastor's taking you to hell if you follow him. Because he's following Satan. And him and Satan, they're going to hell and they're going to take you with them. Do you follow? And that's God's word, not mine. Now, as we get back here, after all of that being done with Peter and John and them, and being warned, and once again being beaten again, and getting ready to get another one, Gamaliel comes along in verse 33 and says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You see, when Peter told them we ought to obey God rather than man, that really made them mad. Now, who is these people that's so upset about them preaching about Jesus? They're the priest and the chief of priests. They're their spiritual leaders of that day and time. But they're still walking under the law. And they are also part of the government. Now, they're trying to figure out a way here in 33 how to kill them. It says, then stood up there one in 34 in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Put them out, get them out of here, because I want to talk to you. That's actually what he's doing there. In 35, and said unto them, after they had taken them out, then he's telling these priests and chief priests and all the others, and he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do is touching these men. Be careful. Gamaliel's warning them, be careful. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. He said, because he wasn't anything. But he's giving them a warning, Gamaliel is. He's warning them to be careful how they and what they do to these men, Peter and John. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. It all came to nothing. because he wasn't part of God. He was nothing out here bragging, like we got a lot today doing. Bragging about themselves instead of bragging about God. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. If what they're doing is just of mankind, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. It's not gonna do anything. It's gonna come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Least haply you be found even to fight against God. If they're what they really are preaching, you better leave them alone. That's what he's warning them about. You better leave them alone. Because if it is really of God, like they're saying, you can't beat it anyway. But you'll be found fighting against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they called them back in. But they still ain't done, see, because they still not accepting even what Gamaliel told them, really. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and getting another beating, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, they've been warned, but yet they had to give them another beating, and then they turned them loose. But, you see, this is the difference in men being men of God and men that are not men of God, is because look what they done. In 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They's rejoicing because they was counted worthy to suffer for him. And what did they do? 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. All they had been through, and as soon as they turned them loose, they went right back to doing exactly what they told not to do, because they was obeying God instead of man. We need men today in our podiums that will walk as they walked, because you me or no other preacher is called to walk any different than they walk. We're called to walk just like them. To walk by this word. To preach this word, not something that's watered down and weakened and brought to fit the ways of this world out here and to tickle man's ears. Well, what do you mean? You just want to get on everybody's toes? Not the idea of wanting to get on anybody's toes. It's the idea of preaching the gospel, preaching this word as it is written, and let God do the work that he wants to do with it. And if it gets on your toes, fine. I get on my own sometimes. Because I don't walk around me either. I'm not going to walk around this word. I'm not going to walk around anyone else. So they need never think so. But that's also why you don't see a church full here either. I've got a lot of so-called friends here in this county. Supposed to be Christian friends. How many of you see here? How many of those do you see? I belong to you and I, Brother James. We belong to an association right now that claims the number of those brothers are 70. How many of us here? One. That's you. Because they don't want this word. I know they don't want it. Because they'll stand in the store and talk about me. Behind my back. Not really. They think they are. They just don't know that the feet are stored on me. And they tell me about them talking about me. But if they talk about me, they let others rest. But they belong to these weak, watered-down churches that are not preaching the gospel. Oh, yes, they'll mention a verse here that's got Jesus' name in it, a verse there that's got Jesus' name in it, but they'll twist and turn it to make it say what they want it to say, just like I was telling you about the verse they use out of James about having an advocate with the Father. That you've just got sin in your life, but you've got an advocate with it. So that's telling you, you can't live your life without sin. But that's not what the verse said. They just didn't read the rest of it. They took it out of context to turn it, make it say what they wanted it to say. Because if they'd stayed in it, they'd have found out. He was talking, we all, when we come into this world, we are born with that old man sin. We walk that way until we choose the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him into our lives. And then everything changes. You see, they took that out of all of that and twisted and turned it. Just like with those that was, and right now, most all of our churches today will accept a woman pastor. And yet the word said no. Didn't pull old punches by saying it either. She's got to work. The Lord will use her. But he has a work for her. And if she would do the work that God has got for her to do, she ain't got time to be up here doing my work anyway. And I sure ain't got time to do hers. The Lord God set the government for the church. But the church has took it out of his hands. And that's why today, the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken out of everywhere he was at. They took him out of our schools first place. Then they took him away from all of the sporting events. You could no longer pray in his name at the sporting events. Then they took him out of all of our government offices. Then they took him even out of our prayer. Most today, when they pray, they don't end their prayer in Jesus' name. Most of them will say at the end of their prayer, well, in his name I pray. Whose name? Mine? Yours? 40 others over here? The Lord God tells us in his scripture, he says, when you pray, pray to me, the Father. That's one word to pray to, the Father. In Jesus' name. And I'll hear from heaven. And if you know I hear from heaven, you'll know that I will grant your wish. But they'll do everything today except pray in Jesus' name. And it's not hard to know that what I'm saying is true because you can go visit any church and find it out. It's not hard to find. It's hard to find one that will stay in God's Word. Now, you know, we've come to a close here with chapter 5. Gamaliel had told them to leave him alone. Be careful what they've done with him. But they wanted to warn him again. They just wasn't going to just absolutely just turn them loose like Gamaliel told them to. Said they, and to him, they agreed with Gamaliel even. They agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they brought them back in now and beaten them and given that beating again. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now they turned them loose because they afraid not to. Gamaliel had them afraid not to turn them loose, but they had beaten them and warned them, don't you preach no more in that name. And Peter and John and the rest of the apostles went right straight out and got in the temple, preaching the same old thing they were preaching before they were taken in. Because you see, that's what a man of God will do. Because he ain't afraid of man. I'm not afraid of what they'll do to me. But I am afraid of that one above, what he can do and will do if I don't do according to his will and his way. No. Mm-mm. No, I'm going to walk with him. I ain't walking with mankind out here. And that's why through all of this, you've never seen my church doors closed, not one time. And you ain't heard me tell them, well, now don't come to my church because I'm supposed to be closed, but I'm not closed right now. If you come, you got to wear a mask. You ain't never heard me tell no one, you got to have a mask to get in here. I'll tell you, if you want to wear one, wear it. But I'm not going to tell you got to wear it. Because it don't matter to me. Because you ain't going to find me with one on. So why should I worry about you? Because you see, I've already been told in the 91st Psalms, as long as I walk with him, no plague is going to touch me, nor my dwelling place. He lays it straight out for us. But we've got to be his. We've got to be walking with him. Now, if we're not walking with him, then, yeah, we might ought to obey what man's saying out here until we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Then we can change. But he'll take care of his people. They can't take my life without him letting them. And if they put me in jail, he can get me out. He did, Peter and John. They put them in jail. They went to singing hymns, praying. He opened up all the doors and let them all out. And that wasn't the first time he had done it. But we have, through this pandemic, our nation, a nation that had been teaching other nations about the Lord Jesus Christ, has walked so far away that it may never get right again. We are going to see an awakening, though. We are going to see that. We're going to see a great awakening. And we're going to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we may never see this nation back again like it should be or like it was. Because I am very, very afraid this nation has walked too far away. and according to God's word. When you really get into his word, get into the depth of it and see what God has to say, then you can understand what I'm talking about. There is such a thing as walking 2-4. And that goes for each one of us. There is a line. If you and I cross it, we cannot get back across it. The Word calls it the silver chain that we have with our hearts. And when we break that silver chain, there's no way back. It's all in God's Word. But when you stay out of the church, you stay away from people that know God's Word, that teach God's Word, that teach it the way it's wrote, you don't have the understanding that is needed to become a born-again child of the living God. And with that, I'm going to close. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, I stand and give thanks for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that came into this world knowing, Father, that mankind was not worthy, and yet he was willing to come and become the sacrifice and pay the price of even death so that we could have life and have it even more abundantly, and that we could make a way of making heaven our home. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father, to fill us, to walk with us, to give us power, to give us strength, to give us the guidance and the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to be able to walk as part of your family, as your child, to be used to help others that are walking lost, walking in darkness, to turn away from that darkness and find the light, and that light being Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home throughout eternity and no longer walk as lost. Help us to continue, Father, to walk in accordance with your word, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living within us, giving us the tools and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to use that knowledge to do your work, Lord, not ours, but yours. Whatever you may call upon us to do. And Father, this church, help us to build it. Its doors are not closed. But Father, it needs to be rebuilt. It was closed a long, long time. Now, Holy Spirit, work with us. Help us. Help each of us to bring someone in and begin to grow and build this church back, and to build it back according to the word of Almighty God, building it in his will and his way. Now, Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we are praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that had no excuse at all, that has turned their back and walked so far away, May the Holy Spirit work with us to help us to take this land, Father, to take those out of our government that's against the church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against your people, and to replace them with those that will stand with the church, with Jesus, with your people, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance, this nation, Father, to repentance, so that you can reach down and heal it once again and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as these names on our prayer list are mentioned, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to work with each one of them, to see to their need, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend Sue's family there in Texas, Father, these ladies that have started a ladies group, work with them, Father. Give them the guidance along the right way. For Amy's husband, Tom, and Tom's friend, Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, may they all walk closer each and every day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in health. Walk in prosperity. For Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, this young man, Father, 12, 13-year-old boy that's been sharing God's word with the young people there in Texas. Use him, Father, in great and mighty ways. Terry Coates stands in need, Father, of the healing touch. He needs that healing that is done by the stripes of Jesus in his life. Touch him. Touch him, Holy Spirit, with that power. Heal him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. Father, this precious couple, guide them in the ways that they need to go and how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Father, they come from different walks of life. They come from all different churches. But Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus Christ. Help each one of them to change their lives, to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be filled by the Holy Spirit, born again, children of Almighty God, and begin using them in great and mighty ways. For Pastor Small and the Glory Bound Church of God in Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses and places of refuge to where the lost can go, find the help they need to walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Fill these pastors to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. This young man, Will, Father, that had been ordained into the ministry, my prayer for him is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. And that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, you know what it needs. Father, we pray that you put one there in that church that will fill it with the Holy Spirit, that will bring the gospel as it should be, as it is written, to fulfill that church's destiny according to the Lord Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit. For my young pastor friend, Haroon Islam, and for my other pastor friend, Barak Mishai, and another pastor friend, Zephron Iran, all of Pakistan, Father, keep these pastors safe, keep them in health, and use them, Father, in mighty and great ways in this faraway land. But keep them safe, because, Father, we know they walk in places to where, if they're caught, will mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, the Johnson family, the Lee family, my wife's family, my family, and for each family that will hear, or just part of that family that will hear this message, work with that family, Father, and take those that are walking in darkness and turn them from their evil ways and bring them to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jimmy Emery, Baby Jalay, Sharon Mombillo, and Sharon's mother, for Sue, for David, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of the mighty Holy Spirit touching their lives to heal them physically, mentally. Father, bring them about and bring them from darkness to light. Put them in a complete and whole body, and so they can be used to help in the harvest field in this day and time. And Father, this church is yours. It don't belong to mankind. The doors are open. Help us, Father, to fill it with those that you want here. And Father, use me in a mighty and great way, not to lift me up, not to make something out of me, other than just a child of God. But use me, Father, according to your will and your way, so that I'm not lifted up, but the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up here in this place. And once again, Father, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, remember now, everyone, God willing, we can all be together once again come Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good night.